I am honored to have been permitted to participate in this tribute to Tom Barker. For Tom was already well on his way institutionally and musically when he came to work with me at Julia. And the more I learned of his saga of pilgrimage, both musical and geographical, the more a historical image, a historical memory constantly recurred. And that was the image of another composer. And that other composer was Hector Berlioz. Now, I'm not invoking Berlioz's name in connection with Tom because they might both have been regarded as slightly unusual social animals. No, it's much deeper than that. As I learned more about Tom, I came to know Tom, of course, very well indeed. I realized that Tom had come from the South. He came with a guitar, which was his primary musical baggage. He came to the center of culture, pursuing musical edification, musical direction. And Berlioz came from the South of France, and his musical baggage was a guitar, little else, and he too sought such musical edification and guidance. He finally went to the French Conservatory, where he rejected almost immediately the teaching of the more conventional teachers, such as Lesueur and Cherubini, and sought that most remarkably deviant teacher, Anton Reicha. And Tom came to this city, went to two institutions, and in a very short time, he too had a succession of teachers who might have been regarded as unusual for someone whose roots were in country music. This was another and I mean this, obviously, quite sincerely. I was constantly reminded of this. I once told Tom about it. He was, shall I say, unimpressed. I think we're probably unimpressed because he was unimpressed by Berlioz. But again, it kept recurring to me because Berlioz, within a very, very short time, not really beginning to compose, were writing works of such striking originality, of such realized originality, that they had to be characterized by the famous historian, writer of music, Thetis, as a bizarre assemblage of sounds. And Tom, in a remarkably short time also, began writing music, which was characterized, something like that, by the contemporary counterparts of Thetis. His music created all kinds of reactions. I have been known to say that his music had to be heard to be believed. And I meant that because the music on the page very often intimidates, at least sometimes actors. It seems needlessly complex and intricate. Even the calligraphy. Now, Tom was a very distinguished copyist, a professional copyist, but even so, his was not an anonymous hand. That was a very striking, very assertive hand. As you can see from the flyers of this concert, that is his hand. When one looked at this music, it was very often the sense of how could it be realized? Well, of course, when it was realized, as it has been realized tonight, as it has been realized before, as I trust will be realized very, very often again. That particular calligraphy, that particular notation, is simply a vehicle of achieving musical lucidity and the most remarkable kind of temporal flux and ensemble flexibility. I must say that this relation between Tom and Berlioz is a fetching. I must also say there are certain parallels for Tom. And for me, I also came to the South. I came to New York also in search of musical guidance. Of course, I had no guitar, but that would simply represent the generation gap. Now, and I too came with my roots firmly in the popular music of my time and my place. It might be pointed out by some of our friends, and there are many of Tom's friends and my friends here, and I would point out that Tom was a devoted hunter and fisherman, passionate outdoorsman, and I'm an indoorsman, passionate or not, but I have remained so. But there are much deeper, and I mean this quite seriously, there are much deeper continuities that bridge the generation gap. I knew Tom very well indeed. The hundreds of hours we simply spent on the telephone while he was diligently copying my parts with the same kind of affection and devotion that he copied, which he copied his own music and wrote his own music. For all of those hundreds of hours we spent together personally and on the telephone, he never could find it possible to call me anything other than Mr. Barrett. And I remember how it took me years, many, many years, and all kinds of requests from the person involved to begin to call Mr. Sessions Roger. So we had a great deal in common. We felt a great deal in common. It's it's characteristic of our generation, my generation, their generation of us, of a certain age, composed of a certain age, who began to come of age in the dark ages of the 1930s. And because of the implications of the very word nationalism, we've avoided any discussions of musical nationalism. One would invoke the notion of nationalism. The generation just preceding us has sometimes suffered from what we could understand but could not sympathize with as a kind of musical xenophobia. But even some of those, Walter Crispin, for example, always wished to say, look, American music is simply music with my Americans. He wished to diffuse the notion that there's something beneath us, which is America, and which all American music shared. Well, this is certainly not the case. But what is certainly the case is that there's an American music, there is some music, there are composers who can only have been made in America. And Tom is one of those. Tom is one of those who wrote a music which was such a complex integration of the populist, if you wish, of the egalitarian, and of the elitist, in the very best sense of the word, that it therefore becomes impossible not to characterize the music, to characterize the man. Those of you who know him, most of you have, I assume, will understand how difficult it is to describe him to anyone who did not know him. The country boy, the country general, the rebel with the cause, the remarkable composer, who, for example, may have appeared to some to be a good old boy, and yet who loved and was loved by those consummate New Yorkers such as Joseph Ness and Danny Brown. And that still can't be his wonderful wife. So all I can say is, as we listen to more of this music, realized, as it could be realized only by Tom himself, he was a remarkable conductor, like Berlioz again, a self-taught conductor. I never heard Tom conduct the Brahms IV. I don't know what it would be like. But I did hear him conduct his own music. I heard him conduct his own lengthy, demanding, intricate ballet at Bard College many years ago. And he managed to extract from performers things that they never had done before and never thought they could do. He could induce them to play that demanding music of his, as at that time no one else can, no one else could. But of course, as tonight, Robert Solberger and his and our devoted colleagues can. So all I can say is, if you listen to the rest of this music, we do not have to regret the promise, because we can revel in this remark.